veteran
and his emotional support Canadian
scream into the void about the Mormon Church. If you want to reach us, we are on Instagram at NotSoPeterPriesthood.
And you can email us at NotSoPeterPriesthood@gmail.com.
Thanks for joining us. Enjoy!
Bye!
We know it's going to be a good one when I've already got Dusty crying. About what's the...
Can't even wear my contacts. I'm a mess today. I love allergy season, everybody.
Yay,
pollen.
Yay.
The
trees are fucking, so it's making you their problem. Making it your problem.
Like, there was like this thing about like replacing male trees in the vicinity with female trees, cause then they don't like everywhere. And I don't know why it never, I don't know. I think they only plant females now, but I'm like, how do they know? How do they look underneath of the tree skirt? That seems pretty inappropriate. Saplings are children. Anyway, I think they have to wait till they grow bigger and then they're like, oh, nope, this one's a...
Still, how do they know?
Because the males are the ones that like puff the cotton everywhere.
Oh.
To like pollinate the female trees, I think. I don't know. I just know it looks like it's snowing sometimes, and I'm just like, I hate everyone and everything, and my skin needs to be ripped off my bones.
Dang men.
Seriously, just splooshing everywhere. Sorry, I'm just in a mood.
Just tree jizz everywhere.
Tree jizz everywhere. The worst, you're like walking and gets in your mouth, and you're like, well, ah.
Spitters or quitters, Dusty.
I'm fine with that. Label me as a quitter. R&R.
Oh, this is off to a good start.
You should definitely always do mornings after a night of debauchery.
Yeah, you had some debauchery last night, so...
Play dead.
I stayed inside and watched Bridgerton, so...
Aw, I love that for you.
It's so good. Well, now, it only lasted... There's only four episodes of the first half of the third season. I'm like, really?
That's rude.
No man butt either yet. Still, I was like, excuse me? I came here for the man butt, okay?
Man butt.
But the one character gets fingered in a carriage, so that was fun.
Oh, good time for everybody, really. Yeah. It's not serial killer smut, but hey.
Oh yeah, different stories for different folks, Dusty.
I told a friend what she was like. What are you reading right now? And I was like, okay, don't judge me. And told her. And she was like, are you okay? And I was like, oh, not even remotely.
Like, okay. I know, the more I've looked into those, I was like, I think I'm going to go with no, or like a nar.
It's a nar. It's a nar for me. And then one of my friends was like, I keep thinking I want to go get a tattoo, but I don't know what to expect. I was like, well, it's not what you're expecting it to be. Like, it hurts, but it's like not what you think it's going to hurt like.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay. I was like, I fell asleep getting my ribs done. And she was like, what is actually wrong with you? And I was like, tattoos hurt less than emotional abuse and pain. And she was like, oh, honey. Oh, no. Like, I don't know what to tell you. The more I heal, the more tattoos hurt. I don't know.
Oh, goodness.
Anyways, yeah. There's a backstory into my villain originals. So.
Well, this could be a villain origin story, too, with this, what we're going to talk about. So,
I already hate it.
So there's, as you know, there's that NFL kicker, Harrison Butker.
I didn't even know he existed, and I hate him.
Neither did I.
Like,
yeah.
Why?
It's like that Taylor Swift song where she says, I forgot you existed kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. This is a question we had at our sushi table last night. Why was he invited to speak? Like, he is an athlete speaking at a college. I don't understand. Did he graduate from there?
So it's, I love that you asked that because I took that out of the stuff that I was going to cover. So I don't know.
Oh, sorry.
He did get asked about it and he had initially refused it.
Okay.
And then he decided that he needed to say what he needed to say. Let me make sure. But anyway, Harrison Butker's that viral speech that is out there, and I
Harrison Buttlicker. Okay.
Yeah, it's very like his Instagram is like butt kicker, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Ow, cute. And,
yeah, and then his yeah, he's just well, yeah. Let's get into it. So I yeah, and we're going to tie this all in to Mormonism. But as I'm doing this, I want listeners and you to also think of, like, the comparisons to, like, how we're, like, the Mormonism side of it. Like,
mm-hmm.
And how we hear this over the pulpit of Mormon churches and general conference all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, of course... And we're not going to read, I'm not going to read the whole speech.
Oh, thank God.
I will. yeah. I've taken out a lot of it, but, so he opens the speech with some anti-vax, like COVID stuff. So that was fun.
Are you kidding me?
I got brushed over completely by the media. Like, nobody's talking about that side either. Like, he goes off on COVID for a while. Let's see. Oh, let's see. And I summarized the first part. He says he was originally turned down to the offer to speak. COVID played a large role in your. That was my only little blurb of, like, that he turned down the offer to speak. COVID played a large role in your formative years, but it is not unique. Bad policies and poor leadership impacted major life issues, things like abortion, IVF, surrogacy, euthanasia, as well as a growing support for degenerate cultural values and media all stem from the pervasiveness of disorder. I love that he comes after IVF and abortion and surrogacy and likens it to euthanasia, which I'm like, okay.
If his wife had not been able to conceive naturally, don't you think they would have gone the IVF? He makes good money. They would have gone either surrogacy or IVF because her role is to, I'm getting into it too early, but. You can fuck all the way off.
Yep. Our own nation is led by a man who publicly and proudly proclaims his Catholic faith, but at the same time is delusional enough to make the sign of the cross during a pro-abortion rally. He has been so vocal in his support for the murder of innocent babies that I'm sure to many people it appears that you can be both Catholic and pro-choice. So this is also getting swept under, like, there's so many things wrong with this speech, but, like, the things that, like, the parts that are being highlighted are very wrong, but, like, there's way more wrong.
Like, it's not just talking about it's not just a little piece of poop in an entire cake. It sounds like most of the cake is poop.
Yep.
Great.
He says he is not alone. From the man behind the COVID lockdowns to the people pushing dangerous gender ideologies onto the youth of America, they all have a glaring thing in common. They are Catholic. This is an important reminder that being Catholic alone doesn't cut it. And then I summarize this other part where he says, it basically says Catholics don't need to be nice. As members of the church founded by Jesus Christ, it is our duty and ultimately privilege to be authentically and unapologetically Catholic. Does this not sound familiar? Be unapologetically Mormon.
Yeah. Be in the world, not of the world.
Yeah. But also, like, there's also this rhetoric we're seeing in the church, in the Mormon church, that we need to just not be apologetic of our faith. Mm-hmm.
Very much so, yeah. Yeah, be very in your face and very, yeah.
Yep. Don't be mistaken, even within the church, people in polite Catholic circles will try to persuade you to remain silent. There even was an award-winning film called Silence, made by a fellow Catholic, wherein one of the main characters, a Jesuit priest, abandoned the church. And as an apostate, when he died, is seen grasping a crucifix, quiet and unknown to anyone but God. As a friend of Benedictine College, that's where he's speaking, His Excellency Bishop Robert Barron said in his review of the film, it was exactly what the cultural elite want to see in Christianity, private, hidden away, and harmless.
Yeah, harmless. That's what we want. We want people not harming other people. Is that a bad thing to want?
Right. Well, and what he's saying kind of is that it's this whole thing of, oh, poor Christians and Catholics being like put They're down and we're
so victimized.
We're supposed to keep our faith hidden and whatever. I'm like, you realize like all the gay people that are kept in closets because of you, like
seriously. It's like, okay, calm down. Like, you're not being forced to live in like hidden bunkers because of your religion. So like, just stop.
Yeah.
Like, you have an entire university dedicated to your religion. Just settle down.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, the persecution complex, it just continues.
Wild.
But
so wild.
Our Catholic faith has always been countercultural, which made me think of like the peculiar people thing.
Countercultural.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's also, it's everywhere. It's in movies, it's in like
you can go to any Walmart jewelry section and pick up a crucifix. Like, yeah. It's not counterculture. I'm sorry. It's not.
Yeah. Right. It's actually even, I would say, pop culture. Like, there's a lot of like Gen Z that wear crosses and stuff. Like, my little sister wants to wear a cross. Like, she wants like a cross necklace and whatever, and she wants a rosary just because she thinks it's cool, not because it's of the faith part of it, but because she thinks it looks cool. So
yeah, like how many emo kids had like cross earrings that they picked up at Claire's in the mall? Like, it's not.
Yeah.
All right, I won't go on with this.
No, we can't. Our Lord, along with countless followers, were all put to death for their adherence to her teachings, the Catholic teachings. Persecution complex still. The world around us says that we should keep our beliefs to ourselves whenever they go against the tyranny of diversity, equity, and inclusion. That big old bad diversity, equity, and inclusion.
God, oh my god, I hate him so much.
We fear speaking truth because now, unfortunately, truth is in the minority.
Who's truth, sir? Like, yeah. Just because I say this is the truth, there's
well, that makes me think of also the, you know, how, like, as kids we're taught, like, say, the church is true. I know the church is true. I know the church is true. I know Joseph Smith was a true prophet. You know, there's this thing about, like, we have this monopoly on truth. And we have the monopoly on being the only true church on the earth. And it's like, Catholics believe that too. They believe they're the true church. So
every religion believes they're the right one, right?
Nobody wants to believe they're the fake church. Like, come on. I'm sorry.
Let's start a religion just so we can say we're actually not the true church.
Yeah.
We're just fucking around.
Yeah, while it goes. let's see. Congress just passed a bill where stating something as basic as the biblical teaching of who killed Jesus could land you in jail. I looked this up and I couldn't find anything. So listeners, if you find something with that, I feel like he's conflating something. I don't know. And where he's being so vague about it, I'm like, okay, I don't think you're actually, whatever you're saying is not actually really happening.
Yeah.
There's this whole thing here with like the Christian nationalism movement and everything. They think that Christians are being persecuted and that they're being, that they need to have, that's why they're pushing all these anti-gay and anti-women laws, because they feel like they're being threatened.
But yeah, and the big bad boys are getting their feelings hurt, so they have to take away everybody else's rights.
Let's see. But make no mistake, before we even attempt to fix any of the issues plaguing society, we must first get our own house in order, and it starts with our leaders. The bishops and priests appointed by God as our spiritual fathers must be rightly ordered. Then he talks about fixing the church from within. He talks about Saint Jose Maria Escriva. It states that the priests are ordained to serve and should not yield to a temptation to imitate lay people, but to be priests through and through. Tragically so, many priests revolve much of their happiness from the adulation they receive from their parishioners, and in searching for this, they let their guard down and become overly familiar.
So they become invested in their congregation and like actually care about their people and like want to interact with them and not just.
Yeah.
Oh my God, how terrible.
The horror, honestly.
The horror. The horror.
And this is one thing that's also come out is this undue familiarity will prove to be problematic every time, because as my teammate's girlfriend says, familiarity breeds contempt. He is talking about Taylor Swift. He doesn't even say her name. And like my teammate's girlfriend, girl, that is a, she's a billionaire. She's an incredible artist. She's a.
Yeah. You use her right full name, sir.
Yeah.
Like I am not a Swiftie by any. Sorry, everybody. Don't hate me. I'm sorry. I don't turn her music off when it comes on shuffle, but I don't actively seek it out. So don't come for me. She's a delightful woman. She's great. She's all my respect. But like, she deserves to not be spoken in that. No woman should be spoken in that way. We talked about it with Jeff Bezos and his wife, right? And she said, I have a name. Mm-hmm. Like, use my name.
Yeah.
You know, like women. I hate it. I hate how women become so-and-so's wife, so-and-so's girlfriend, so-and-so's mother.
Yeah, that's their,
like,
own their whole identity. And that's interesting that you say that, because that comes up. I mean, we know that that comes up later.
Yeah, yeah. But like, Taylor their fucking own Swift, whole identity say her
is,
name.
Yeah. Like, their whole identity is that they are, once you become a mother and a wife, that's your identity. You're no longer your own person. She is now Travis Kelce's girlfriend, not Taylor Swift. Like, she is, yeah. To him, in his view.
Of course, because he's a friggin'.
It's that same thing. Have you seen the thing where they were saying, like, oh, Taylor Swift is only dating Travis Kelce for his $70,000 bonus check or whatever? And I was, the people were like, are you fucking kidding me? She's a billionaire. Like,
yeah.
If anybody's the gold digger on this, it's him. At first, I thought that was the whole thing. I was like, oh, he's using her. But then I've...
Seems to like her, yeah.
Yeah, they seem to be genuinely happy. So,
yeah.
I'm not going to yuck their yum. As long as he better watch out, though. Like,
oh,
there could be a whole album about him.
Could you imagine the fallout of that? Oof.
Yeah. But it could be, you know, it could be that she writes a love album about him.
She's moving into her lover era. I don't know. Wait, didn't she already have a? I don't know the things. I'm sorry.
Okay, so lover was. You're bringing out the Swiftie thing. So it's fine.
Katie.
Also, listeners on Not So Molly Mormon's Patreon, Katie and I did a deep dive into Tortured Poets Department. So. Take a listen. Mm-hmm. It was a fun conversation, but now I don't know what I was talking about. But
okay.
We were talking about Taylor Swift, so we're still going to talk about Taylor Swift.
I'm sorry. We're talking. She's already done the Lover,
okay.
Right?
Lover was her era of. She was supposedly it was like happy whatever, but the more we've learned about it was actually her writing about like the falling apart of her love.
Oh.
But she was focusing on the positive stuff and she was trying to hold on to it. So it
like,
makes a
kind of
it gives like
positivity?
A really much more dark perspective of that album because it's got all these like beautiful pink, bright colors and everything, that whole era. But then, anyway, and everybody
she's
thought it
was so layered and talented, right? Like,
yeah,
that's incredible. Good for her.
All right, we're going to move on because you don't care.
I do care. I think she's an incredible musician and she's very talented and she's a great businesswoman. I think that's incredible. And I, like I said, if you're going to quote her fucking song, use her name. Do not call her somebody.
Also, the song that he's quoting is about like having women having a voice against men. Like he completely missed the idea of that song.
Oh, because, he would never delve into, like, the meaning of it or, no.
Let's see, skipping more. The chaos of the world is unfortunately reflected in the chaos in our parishes and, sadly, in our cathedrals, too. As we saw during the pandemic, too many bishops were not leaders at all. So there's a whole movement in the, like, Mormon world that speaks out against Russell M. Nielsen for his response to COVID. So that's what that made me think of. It was like, Interesting.
Yeah, because he got the vaccination. People were like, no, my personal revelation says I shouldn't get it.
Yeah.
He's acting as a man, right? Yeah.
Yep. The Desnats are not. They still bring that shit up. I'm like, that's 4 years ago, dude. Get over it.
So 2020.
They were motivated by fear of being sued, fear of being removed, fear of being disliked. They showed their actions, intentional or unintentional, that the sacraments don't actually matter. Because of this, countless people died alone without access to the sacraments, and it's a tragedy we must never forget. As Catholics, we can look to so many examples of heroic shepherds who gave their lives for their people and ultimately the church. We cannot buy into the lie that things we experienced during COVID were appropriate. Over the centuries, there have been great wars, great famines, and yes, even great diseases, all that came with a level of lethality and danger. But in each of those examples, church leaders leaned into their vocations and ensured that their people received the sacraments. So he's blaming the church for
people dying without sacraments because they followed the lockdown rules.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Cool, dude.
Yeah. Again, stuff that is not even talked about when we talk about this.
Yeah, like, what the fuck does this have to do with graduating from college? Like, I just don't understand.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up again, because, like, we got to remember, keep this in perspective of, like, he's talking to graduates.
Yeah.
He's talking to people who have worked their asses off to get a degree, and yes, he is talking in a Kansas, like, deep woods, whatever, like, conservative, redneck area, but, like, it's still graduates who have, And I remember, so in this transcript, there's like, I took it all out, but like, it even put how many applauses he got and for how long.
Barf.
Yeah, I was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And that conversation I had with that friend yesterday about this, one of her whole points was that he got applauded. And I was like, okay, Hitler got applauded too.
Seriously.
Why does that mean that he's correct in what he's saying? Like, yeah. No. It just means that people were being nice too. Like, I've applauded stuff that I don't necessarily, I'm just like, okay, thank you for being on the stage and I get that you're brave and whatever. And
I cheer for 5 year olds playing soccer. Like,
cheering doesn't mean that I like necessarily approve. It's more just like, good job.
Stop picking dandelions. Good job. You stop picking dandelions. Yeah. Go for it. Good
boy. And then he brings up some saint that worked with lepers as if that's like the same as COVID.
Why can't we mention like the lesbians that took care of the gay men who were dying of AIDS?
Right. Exactly.
Aren't they saints then? Because they're doing the exact same thing?
Yeah. But that's different because they're condoning sin.
Oh.
Remember? So
But Jesus died for our sin. So if you're not gay, then he died for nothing. So really.
Yeah. let's see. That goes even more so for our bishops, these men who are present day apostles. Our bishops once had adoring crowds of people kissing their rings and taking in their every word, but now relegate themselves to a position of inconsequential existence. Now, when a bishop of a diocese or the bishop's conference as a whole puts out an important document on this matter, or that nobody even takes a moment to read it, let alone follow it. Which makes me think of the family proclamation and how they're on the family proclamation. Still, it's a 1995 document that was, they say, is prophetic and it's, what is it? It's doctrine, and that they, when they totally dismissed the whole, it was all to like fight against gay marriage in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally the whole reason that came out.
Yep.
I say all of this not from a place of anger, as we get the leaders we deserve, but this does make me reflect on staying in my lane and focusing on my own vocation and how I can be a better father and husband and live in the world, but not be of it.
I'm sorry, stay in your lane? Sir, you are a football player. What gives you, why are you a professional on speaking about how church needs to step up and fix the world? Like, did he not read this to the mirror to get ready for this event? Like,
yeah. The call is coming from inside the house.
Seriously.
Yeah, I don't. Anyway, focusing on my vocation while praying and fasting for these men will do more for the church than me complaining about her leaders.
Then why are you up at a pulpit? Sorry, is that what it's called? Complaining about, is that what it's called? What's it called when it's not a church? Is it a pulpit?
Yeah, it's still a pulpit.
Okay. Well, then why are you up at a pulpit complaining about church leaders if the best thing you can do is stay at home and pray?
Mm-hmm.
Sir, sit
down. Maybe you should go back home and pray.
Yeah, go home and pray. Nobody wants to hear anymore.
Yeah. Let's see. Because there seems to be so much confusion coming from our leaders, there needs to be concrete examples for people to look to in places like Benedictine, a little Kansas college built high on a bluff above the Missouri River, are showing the world how an ordered, Christ-centered existence is the recipe for success. This makes me think of part of, what's his name? Oh my God, why is his name? Jeffrey R. Holland's speech, BYU being this like beacon of light in the world and whatever.
Yeah.
And it's literally the same thing that he's saying, like Benedictine College is like it's a little beacon of light.
Beacon of light. It's doing the right thing in this bad, bad world.
Mm-hmm. You need to look no further than the examples all around this campus, where over the past 20 years, enrollment has doubled, construction and revitalization are a constant part of life, and people, the students, the faculty, and staff are thriving. This didn't happen by chance. Doesn't this sound exactly like what Jeffrey R. Holland was saying?
100%.
Just,
And what do they all have in common? Oh, they're cheaper because they get funding because they're religious institutions. So that's why people go there, because life is really expensive right now.
Mm-hmm. In a deliberate movement to embrace traditional Catholic values, Benedictine has gone from just another liberal arts school with nothing to set it apart to a thriving beacon of light and a reminder to us all that you embrace tradition, success, worldly and spiritual will follow. Oh, that when you embrace tradition and success, whatever, I read that wrong. When you embrace tradition, success will follow.
Oh, will it? I don't know, because like traditional farming probably aren't going to be very successful when you're competing against people who use machinery. Just saying.
It's true.
Just saying.
I am certain the reporters of the AP could not have imagined that their attempt to rebuke and embarrass places and people like those here at Benedictine wouldn't be met with anger, but instead met with excitement and pride. Not the deadly sin sort of pride that has an entire month dedicated to it, but the true God-centered pride that is cooperating with the Holy Ghost to glorify him. Yeah. Sir, right before Pride Month, and you're saying this shit. He's one of those people that probably says, well, straight people don't get a Pride Month. Why do you get a Pride Month?
Because you get the fucking year. Calm down, sir. Yeah. Nobody's trying to take away your right to have sex with your wife. Like, calm down.
Exactly. Reading that article now shared all over the world, we see that in the complete surrender of self and a turning towards Christ, you will find happiness. You must be referring to some AP article. I don't know what it is, but right here in a little town in Kansas, we find many inspiring lay people using their talents. All right, this is where it gets... brace yourself. For the ladies present today, congratulations on an amazing accomplishment. You should be proud of all that you have achieved to this point in your young lives. I want to speak directly to you briefly because I think it is you, the women, who have had the most diabolical lies told to you. How many of you are sitting here now about to cross the stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you are going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world.
Did he take that directly from General Conference? Because I'm pretty sure I've heard like basically the same...
Exactly.
Before.
Yep. That your only success in your work, like you can be successful and have a successful career, but really, really
not worthy
you
until
your
you
only,
have children.
Yeah, you're only truly successful in God's eyes if you are a mother and a wife.
Imagine saying that to some woman who was born without reproductive organs. Yeah,
exactly. That was one of my points to that friend is like, what about infertile women? What about women who don't want children? Like, they just don't want children.
Yeah, just don't. Yeah.
Like, they're not interested. What about asexual people who don't want to even that mm-hmm. they don't
intersex people whose parents chose their gender at birth. Like, yeah. there's so many people that you're completely alienating, and that's so hurtful.
Traumatized people who don't have yeah. been sexually abused that don't want to even be touched.
Yeah,
you know, like
100%.
Yeah.
Well, just the plain simple fact of I get fulfillment from my job and my career. Yeah. And that's all I want.
Yeah.
Like, just exactly. Shut him up.
Yep. I can tell you that my beautiful wife, Isabel, would be the first to say that her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and as a mother. I'm on the stage today and able to be the man I am because I have a wife who leans into her vocation. Her vocation. Her job as a wife and a mother. That's her job. That's her identity.
Yeah. Are
you fucking kidding me? Like, I get that, like, that works for you, dude, but, like, can you just, you're speaking from a very privileged place. You're speaking from a very, not a lot of people can afford to have a one income household.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sorry. And also this puts a lot of pressure on the men thinking like, oh, I have to provide for a whole family, you mm-hmm. know?
And that's to exactly about all these kids.
Yeah. That's exactly what the Mormon church teaches too, is that men should be the primary breadwinners, and that's not always the case. I have that in my family. Like, we just, there's where the woman is the, you know, she's got the constant job, mm-hmm. you know, like, and that's, that works for them, you know.
Yeah. Some women have like incredible degrees and are doing really incredible things, and it wouldn't make sense for their husband, who is maybe less educated or has a lower paying job, he's supposed to go out and work and she's supposed to stay home with like her astrophysics degree or whatever. Like,
exactly.
It makes no sense to me. What's the point of sending women to college? Is that what they're saying? Women shouldn't even go to college, because what's the point of educating us if all we're good for is popping out babies and raising those babies?
That's essentially the message he's giving at a graduation ceremony to women who have earned a degree and who are looking forward to a career and are educated. He's basically telling them, like, what the fuck are you doing? Your actual job is actually to be a mother and a wife. And that's the only accomplishment that you should be looking forward to. Mm-hmm. You can look towards to your promotions and your careers and whatever, and that's cute. But like, homemaker and wife is the only,
all that matters.
The only thing that really matters.
Yeah.
That's all you're good for.
Like, Margaret Atwood wants her dystopian future back, please.
Yeah. I'm beyond blessed with the many talents God has given me, but it cannot be overstated that all my success is made possible because a girl I met in band class back in middle school would convert to the faith, become my wife, and embrace one of the most important titles of all, homemaker.
He kicks a fucking... Oh, my God.
Yeah. They're... And there's a video going around of him like completely eating shit when he went to go kick the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Just like fell over.
Like, okay, so he can kick a ball 60 yards. That's incredible. Good for him. Congratulations, sir. That's great. But like, you're just an, like, not just, oh my God, this is not coming out right. But like, you play a sport.
Yeah.
What do you do that makes the world like a better place? Like, I get we all need entertainment, fine, whatever. But mm-hmm. like, what does he do in his job that actually affects world change and create, like, really? You're going to sit up there and say, is this talk entitled White Privileged Man Talks About His Privilege? Like,
basically, that's what it should be titled, because.
Oh, my God.
And then his wife converted to Catholicism in order to marry him. So
of course she did, because like, why would she have her own opinions about religion? And oh my God.
Yeah. I guarantee. I mean, he probably sought out people that a woman that would submit like that, because he doesn't want somebody that would fight back.
Yeah, of course. Like,
no, I'm not going to do that.
Well, there's probably a reason they've known each other since middle school. Like.
Going back to the Pride Month thing, there's also a rumor, like, one of his classmates from college, it's not confirmed, but she said something like, can we talk about how you hooked up with like this male cheerleader in college? So I'm like, that tracks. It's usually these assholes that are saying the worst shit that are actually the most...
Oh, they're projecting, right? Like, it's all their own internal crap that they just spew out.
Let's see. He goes on. She is a primary educator to our children. She is the one who ensures I never let football or my business become a distraction from that of a husband and father. She is the person that knows me best at my core, and it's through our marriage that, Lord willing, we will both attain salvation.
She sounds like she's his mother.
Yeah.
Like she takes care of him?
Yeah. Did you want a wife or did you want a mother, a second mother? Like... Anyway, I say all this to you because I have seen it firsthand how much happier someone can be when they disregard the outside noise and move closer and closer to God's will in their life. Isabel's dream of having a career might not have come true, but if you asked her today if she has any regrets on her decision, she would laugh out loud without hesitation and say, heck no. Like, he's speaking for her, first of all, but like...
Is Isabel in the room? Like, can we...
She has not commented on this at all. And she's actually, like, if you look at his Instagram, there's literally no pictures of her. Like, he has no, like...
Which, I mean, we are not owed that. We do not need... It's not our right to see photos of her, and absolutely. But, like...
But if he loves her this much, like, why is she not, like...
Yeah.
At least, you know... I don't understand.
Like, Isabel, blink twice if you need help.
Yeah, right. As a man who gets a lot of praise and has been given a platform to speak to audiences like this one today, pat yourself on the back more, dude. I pray that I always use my voice for God and not for myself. Everything I am saying to you is not from a place of wisdom, but rather a place of experience.
Oh, yeah.
He's like in his 20s. How experienced can he be?
No offense to our 20-year-old listeners, but like your brain isn't fully formed until you're 25, so just like calm down.
I am hopeful that these words will be seen as those from a man not much older than you, who feels it is imperative this class, this generation, and this time in our society must stop pretending that the things we see around us are normal.
Oh my God.
Heterodox, which I had to look up, is the not conforming with orthodox. I'm like, wow, big word, dude. Heterodox ideas abound even within Catholic circles.
Do you think that was his word of the day calendar word?
Probably.
Oh, that's a good word. That's a big word. Good job, buddy.
Good job, Tiger. But let's be honest, there's nothing good about playing God with having children, whether that be your ideal number or the perfect time to conceive. He's talking, no matter how you spin it, there's nothing natural. You were talking at graduation ceremony. You don't need to be talking about COVID. You don't need to be talking about telling women to, you know, not to get their degree or to focus on being a mother and a wife. You don't need to be talking about their conception and birth control.
If all the women in the audience who actually have a spouse at this time, could you please actually go have sex in the parking lot, because you should be conceiving right now, not walking across the stage.
Like, you should be like pregnant. Like,
yeah. Can you all let me know what your ovulation schedule looks like so we can get this done immediately? Gross.
It is only in the past few years that I have grown encouraged to speak more boldly and directly because, as I mentioned earlier, I have leaned into my vocation as a husband, father, and as a man. Oh, goodness. I'm so glad you're speaking more boldly, dude. That's a lot of the people that are, like, supporting him. He's so brave. He's so bold. He's so right. And they're like, is he, though? Like, is he? And, like, I have. Okay, so I've had a lot of time to think about this because people are saying, like, oh, he has the freedom of speech. Yes, he does.
Everybody does, yeah. But you don't have freedom from consequences of the things you say.
Exactly. And those people that are saying, oh, he has free speech. What were they? They were the ones that were saying, oh, Colin Kaepernick. Free speech. Kneeling during the.
Almost like they only want people on their team to have free speech and nobody else.
Yeah. So I've kind of backed off a little bit in that I'm just like, okay, he can say what he wants.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I have every right to disagree, you know, and to express my opinion about it, but I'm not going to say, like, oh, he needs to be shut up and whatever. Oh, he needs
to be quiet. No, I just want him to shut up.
I'm saying, like, he just needs to, like, we can allow him to have the free speech, but we can also criticize what he's saying because it's not it doesn't align with me. But if it aligns with you, that's fine. But also, they need to recognize that if something doesn't align with them, they need to let us speak too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It has to go both ways, or what's the point of it? Exactly. Like, yeah.
Then he's, okay, to the gentleman here today, part of what plagues our society is this lie that has been told to you that men are not necessary in the home or in our communities. As men, we set the tone of the culture, and when that is absent, disorder, dysfunction, and chaos set in. This absence of men in the home is what plays a large role in the violence we see all around.
Oh my God, it's the same old, the reason we have problems with gangs is because moms went back to work bullshit that they said at General Conference a gazillion years ago.
Yeah, there's, I will say that when I was at Child and Adult Protection Services, we were trying to get, it was hard to get engagement with fathers, but so I do kind of see his point, but at the same time, I'm just like, dude, you just talked about how women need to be at home, and then that men should be doing the jobs and whatever, so they shouldn't be at home. And now you're saying, oh, men aren't at home. So what's...
Yeah, so what's... Where are they supposed to be?
They're out working, you know, or they, you know, maybe they've left the family. That happens obviously a lot, but like, sir, which
There's
is it?
There's so much pressure put on men because they have to be the primary breadwinner, but they have to be home. So they have to work a 9-to-5, but nobody can survive on a 9-to-5 in today's world because it is too expensive. So what are these men? You are setting them up for failure, and boys can't talk about their feelings. Boys can't. No. They just have to be tough, manly men. They just have to rely on God. So these men are going to have like serious mental breakdowns because they've never been taught how to like regulate their emotional state or... Mm-hmm. And then they have 8 kids that they're supposed to take care of. Like, are you trying to, like, drive up the suicide rate in men? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that I think needs to get talked about more, because especially with these, like, religions that are so demanding of men and just saying that, like, oh, you have to be, like, Mormons. That's all I remember from growing up was that I needed to have a good paying job so I can take care of my family. That was literally the messaging I received from primary on.
Yeah.
As a priesthood holder too, like it's my God given responsibility to be the priesthood holder and the leader of the family. Like, I don't want that shit. That's a lot of pressure.
And they start it so young. Like, you were, it's old. Drilled into, even younger, it's drilled into your head. Like, I remember being
8 years old
and wearing my pretty white dress for my baptism and being like, the next beautiful white dress you'll wear will be your wedding dress on your wedding day. And being like, boys are gross.
Yeah.
I still kind of think boys are gross.
Yeah, it's true. Let's see. So he also says other countries do not have nearly the same absentee father rates as we find here in the U.S., and a correlation could be made in their drastically lower violence rates as well.
Okay. Oh, this might be motherfucker. Do you know why? Because in other countries, they care about their citizens and they don't let them have automatic weapons just free walking down the street.
That's it. You're like, you're so close, dude. You're so close, but you're looking at the wrong thing. Like, the problem is the guns.
And a lot of people in those countries, there's a lot of equality that's worked upon where men and women are actually, a lot of those countries, like, childcare is provided for women to be, they want their women back in the workforce. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a huge difference, is that the government actually gives a crap about the education of their children and about women being back to where they prefer to be. Like, you nailed it, buddy. You nailed it. Just so close.
He says, be unapologetic in your masculinity. This is that whole thing of there's like this this other side of when toxic masculinity, that phrase came out, a lot of people were like, oh, it's not toxic, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's this whole thing like toxic masculinity is just a phrase. It doesn't exist. And it's, yeah, and men should be men, and that should be, you know, whatever. And like, but you're the problem. Like, that's the problem. Men are not being emasculated, and it's not emasculating for a woman to be in the workforce because they're not taking anything from you. Because as we know, as we've discussed, like we've talked about before, women are not like men are the default. Men are the they're constantly in design, in engineering, in everything, in STEM. Women are not thought of in any aspect in our world. Mm. But it's the men. Mm. The men are picked on. Oh, you know. Like,
there's one woman in their cohort of 30 people. There's one woman. They're being emasculated.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
He says, be unapologetic in your masculinity, fighting against the cultural emasculation of men. Do hard things. Uh-huh. I do hard things. never settle for what is easy. You might have a talent that you don't necessarily enjoy, but if it glorifies God, maybe you should lean into that over something that you think suits you better. I speak from experience as an introvert who now finds himself as an amateur public speaker and an entrepreneur, something I never thought I'd be when I received my industrial engineering degree. Okay. I was going to take this out, but it just makes me think of, anyway. As you prepare to enter into the workforce, it is extremely important that you actually think about the places you are moving to. Who is the bishop? What kind of parishes are there? Do they offer the TLM and have, that's the something mass, anyway, and have priests who embrace the Latin mass, that's what it's called, who embrace their priestly vocation. Cost of living must not be the only arbiter of your choices, for a life without God is not a life at all, and the cost of salvation is worth more than any career. That makes me think so much of like, oh, you're moving. What ward are you going to be moving into? What's the cost of living there? What's the you know, like that's literally what people...
how many of us have moved and our parents have like found out who our bishop is and has contacted them and be like, my child's living in your ward now.
Yeah, like that side quest that I told you was last whatever. Anyway, that letter side that got, yeah, that letter from that bishop or whatever that I didn't know even happened. Yeah. All right, so just real quick, I have some quotes from Mormons that pretty much go along with this. So that, all right. So this is from Ezra Taft Benson. It is a misguided idea that a woman should leave the home where there is a husband and children to prepare educationally and financially for an unforeseen eventuality. Too often, I fear, even women in the church use the world as their standard for success and basis for self-worth. In the same talk, he also said, radiate a spirit of contentment and joy with homemaking. You teach, by example, your attitude toward homemaking. Your attitude will say to your children, I am only a housewife, or it will convey, homemaking is the highest, most noble profession to which a woman might aspire.
Oh, my God. The thought of conveying that to my children makes my skin crawl.
Right? Spencer W. Kimball, the husband is expected to support his family, and only in an emergency should a wife secure outside employment. Her place is in the home to build the home into a heaven of delight. from the family, a proclamation to the world. By divine design, fathers are to preside over their families in love and righteousness and are responsible to provide the necessities of life and protection for their families. Mothers are primarily responsible for the nurture of their children. In these sacred responsibilities, fathers and mothers are obligated to help one another as equal partners. It's not equal, though, in their eyes. Disability, death, or circumstances may necessitate individual adaptation.
I don't know. The economy, is that an emergency? Because...
Yeah. President Hinckley, dear sweet baby Hinckley, in terms of your happiness, in terms of the matters that make you proud or sad or nothing, I repeat, nothing will have so profound an effect on you as the way your children turn out. Couples who follow the counsel of the prophets concerning the importance of mothers staying home with their children when possible will be blessed. Repeat Elder Scott's statement that mothers who are in unusual circumstances and have no choice but to work outside the home will also be blessed.
So, my mom, who stayed home with me, why am I not in the church then? If it's the most important thing and it determines whether your children, like, pile some more guilt on my poor mother. Why don't you?
Yeah. Like, I hadn't thought about that. My mom worked like my whole life. Like I remember she was a teacher, and I remember getting home before her, and she would get home. Like we'd do the, what was that called? The latchkey kid. Is that what it's called? Latchkey.
Yeah.
We did that thing.
In the 90s.
We did that until she got home around 5 or 6, and then she'd make dinner, and then that's how it was. I can't imagine. Oh. And here I am now, like, I didn't even think about this, but it's stupid that I didn't think about this, but I'm just like, she was getting this messaging from the church, like, hey, your primary duty is to be at home, and yet you're out working.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so unfair to put that kind of pressure on people when, like, your family probably wouldn't have had food on the table if your mom wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
So you were supposed to live off the bishop's storehouse, but you can only be helped so many times a year. Like, they are setting you up to be.
And also, with the bishop's storehouse, you have to be paying tithing regularly in order for them to even bother helping you. So you have to give money to the church in order to get help, even if you, but the reason you need help is because you can't even
you
can't even provide tithing, like, okay.
And that's how they get you, like, okay, well, you need to come clean the church for 6 hours on Saturday, and then we'll provide you meals for the rest of the week, like, it's so horrible.
President George Albert Smith, when the prophet Joseph Smith turned the key for the emancipation of womankind, it was turned for all the world, and from generation to generation, the number of women who can enjoy the blessings of religious liberty and civil liberty has been increasing. I don't know about that one. I guess women have more rights now, so, and that's because of God. It's not because of, like, the workers, the people who did all the civil rights movements.
Right.
And protests.
Don't worry about the suffragettes or anything trying to get the vote. Yeah. It's definitely just God was like, yeah, okay, fine. They can have the vote. It's fine.
Give them a little bit of crumb here. It's fine. Rusty Nelson, a wise woman renews herself. In proper season, she develops her talents and continues her education. She musters the discipline to reach her goals. She dispels darkness and opens windows of truth to light her way. A woman teaches priorities by precept and example. Recently, I watched a television program in which a female lawyer was being interviewed. She was at home with her child on a full-time basis. When asked of her decision, she replied, "Oh, I may go back to the law sometime, but not now." For me, the issue is simple. Any lawyer could take care of my clients, but only I should be the mother of this child. Such a decision is not made not in terms of rights, but in terms of obligations and responsibilities. She knows that as she rises to meet responsibilities, rights will take care of themselves.
Okay. And again, that is a privileged position for her to be able to choose to stay home with her children. Mm-hmm. Not everybody. I am a very privileged woman in the fact that I have side hustles and don't have to have a continual income. Like, I acknowledge that not many women are in that position. Mm-hmm. So to say this is the example of what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
It is so horrible to everyone involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, it's a fictional character on TV that he's talking about too.
Yeah, of course. Like, and it affects everybody, from those children who are like, oh, if my mom was a better God-fearing woman, she wouldn't go to work every day. So you're creating, like, unrest in families.
Mm-hmm.
By saying this, you're poisoning these children against their parent because they're not doing good enough.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's also ugly. Pitting women against women in that, like, I'm a stay at home, like, you know, it's just, I'm a stay at home.
Oh, you go to, you leave your children in daycare?
What are you even doing? Or even the other way around, where it's, you stay at home, like.
Oh yeah, I get that a lot too.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't go back to work. I mean, sort of.
Yeah. President Heber J. Grant. There seems to be a power with which the mother possesses in shaping the life of the child. Okay, so going back to, sorry, this is just a thought that came. Going back to what what's his name was saying, Butker. He it's so close to buttfucker. Like it really. I just it I really can't.
Is. The first time I was like, I'm sorry, what's his name? That's unfortunate.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate that you made yourself a huge target now. So. Yeah. Yeah.
But what not that I have room. Absentee... I was Dusty Johnson. Like, come on. That's a joke just waiting to happen. I know. I know. You yeah. How many men have told me I could dust their Johnson? Yeah. So many men. So many men. I get it. It's built into it.
It's low-hanging fruit. It's fine. The... Very well. The, he's talking about the absentee fathers, but I'm just like...
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but the... So then it becomes the responsibility of the woman to teach the children. But what's the father, the father's job? Like, he doesn't have a connection with his children. He's not supposed to have a connection with his children.
He's no, just because that, to have
to go she, and be.
That's emotion. That's oh, that's right, tapping right, into those forgot. Feminine feelings of love oh, and, yeah. and appreciation and empathy.
And affection. And,
yeah, yeah, you can't.
Teaching your sons to, that it's okay to have emotions. Teaching your daughters that. Oh, it's okay for men to be sensitive and to be
very girly, don't you know? To yeah. be like and it all comes back to the hatred of feminism. But anyway,
absolutely, it's all misogynist.
Oh,
it's
I all, hate it all.
And that makes me think of that video. That remember? Did I send that to you?
Yeah, the man that was saying that they don't hate gay men; they hate feminism.
Yeah, and the reason why they hate gay men is because they've squandered their masculinity, and you have all this privilege, and yet you've squandered it.
You've just decided to be a feminine and just not, yeah, like, yeah. Oh, it's disgusting. But yeah, it makes perfect sense, right? Because yep. I used to get along with a lot of conservative men because I had, like, masculine traits, mm-hmm. and they found that that was, like, but then
you're
it turned...
Threat.
Yeah, but then it turns into this, like, well, why aren't you more feminine? And why can't you be girlier? And
yep.
Because this is who I am, sorry.
Yeah. There seems to be a power which the mother possesses in shaping the life of the child that is far superior, in my judgment, to the power of the father. And this is almost without exception. After all, it is by love, real genuine love of our fellows that we accomplish the most. A mother's love seems to be the most perfect and the most sincere, the strongest of any love we know anything about. I, for one, rejoice in it because it's a wonderful example to me. That one's nice. But then it's also like, okay, but the father can't also provide, like, love and genuine, I don't know.
Yeah, and it's negating that some women don't have that bond with their children. Some women go through really, yeah. Some women have really traumatic births and they resent the child. Sometimes hormones go out of whack.
First births that they didn't even... Yeah.
Yeah. Rape victims
it's who are born happening to... more and more and more.
Yep. Yep. So it's very, again, it's a damaging rhetoric of you're not good enough because, you know, I can't even.
Let's see. So this last one, it's kind of a long one, but I will read it. This will be the last one. It's from President Howard W. Hunter. Mothers are given a sacred privilege to bear the souls of men, for herein is the work of the Father continued, that he may be glorified.
So, wait. Sorry, I have to interrupt. So if you give birth to another female, that's not as exemplary as... So I'm better than my friend who only has daughters? I'm better because I gave birth to souls of men.
Yeah.
Like, what? What kind of messaging is that?
Because they've got penises, so they like they're obviously better. Like, just
yeah, I grew more penises than you, so I'm better than you.
Yep.
Weird. It's a weird thing to say to somebody.
It is. The first presidency has said motherhood is near to divinity. It's the highest, holiest service to be assumed by mankind. Okay, that's nice. We hear that
then
a lot.
Put women in charge of the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the priesthood cannot work out its destiny, nor can God's purposes be fulfilled without our helpmates. Helpmates. Mothers perform a labor the priesthood cannot do. For this gift of the life of life, the priesthood should have love unbounded for the mothers of their children. And it's that whole thing of, oh, well, you don't need the priesthood because you're a mother.
Yeah,
you have a higher calling.
Nah, you work with God in conjunction, bringing the spirits to the earth. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Walter's growling at something.
The Lord has commanded that women and children have claim on their husbands and fathers for their maintenance. President Ezra Taft Benson has stated that when a husband encourages or insists that his wife work out of the home for their convenience, not only will the family suffer in such instances, but his own spiritual growth and progression will be hampered. Ugh. God forbid. Oh my God. It's hampered. Your can't have a hampered progression.
Seriously. Everybody make sure that you starve to death.
But I just thought it was interesting that, so I've seen like Mormon friends, also bashing on Butker. And I'm like,
and you're like, but you belong to church. This is exactly.
They're saying, yeah, exactly. They're saying the exact same thing at church and you're fine with them saying it, but you're not fine with him saying the exact same thing, just in different words. Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. But then there's, I've seen obviously more of the other side where they're supporting him. Mm-hmm. But and they don't see anything wrong with what he's saying. Like they don't see, they're like, oh, he's getting all this hate for no reason. It's like
there's reasons, sweetheart. There's a lot of reasons.
Literally, and I, this is the second, maybe the third time I've read it, which I hate. But I've gotten even more stuff out of it this time around that I'm like, oh shit, that's really bad. You know, like the first time reading it, I was like, that's the first part. COVID, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
But that's terrible, too.
It's terrible.
And then he's wants, like, leaders, better leaders. Okay, yeah. It's just, it seems to be, it aligns so much with the messaging we're getting from the Mormon Church now, too. Mm-hmm. Of like, oh, you need to be stronger in your faith and be more bold about it and more annoying, really, honestly, is what
it is. More outspoken, more in your faith, more, yeah.
Yep. But the minute that I, so that friend, she said that I blew up, blew up about this. And I'm like,
I read your post. You did not blow up.
I've just been sharing memes about it. And like, oh, tell me you don't have that many friends without telling me you don't have that many friends. Cause like, I don't post, I may post a lot, but like, it's just because like, that's what's out there. And like, it's funny to me. There's a lot of funny memes about this.
Yeah, I know somebody who like checks my stories every day is going to be like, eh.
Yeah. Well, and so there's this thing that's going out. It's from wanted to point this out just for the sake of like misinformation that's out there. I had sent it to you and like the group chat. But there's like something about his response to it about he said that women should have more babies than thoughts. And that actually is. Did I?
No, I didn't.
So
did he actually say that? Okay. Oh,
so
okay.
I'm backing. So that's what I'm saying. Like that's being shared a lot. So if you see it,
it's not. Just, he didn't.
It's satire.
Say that.
He has not. He has not responded to it yet. Yeah. I don't know if he will, and if I'm sure he will double down, but I don't think he's going to say something like that.
He's not going to spend his time.
The fact
that
we all thought it was real.
Oh yeah, that's very telling. Because like all these women are like, oh, I would love to watch the Chiefs game, but I can't see the TV from my kitchen.
Oh yeah, those are great.
Loving it. Oh, I'm loving
even
it.
Even other teams are trolling him and saying like, there's this because the schedules are coming out for NFL or whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't know they did this, but they put out like these videos of whatever, like this, the schedule's out. This, and there's one from the Chargers, and there's like a Sims thing, like the Sim characters, and the Chiefs one is like Travis Kelce going off on a jet plane with Taylor Swift, but then it also has like a guy like that's trying to be a home, like he's trying to do something in the kitchen. I don't know, and I think that's supposed to be what's his name, Buttfucker.
Okay, that's funny.
Yeah,
I love the fact that like other teams are like, we would love all the women to be on the couch watching our game. Like,
yeah.
We love our women fans. Please.
Yep.
Yeah. Buy tickets. Go get careers so you can buy tickets to our games and buy our merchandise.
Oh, and then another thing that people are saying in his defense is that like, oh, but his merch is, his jersey is selling so much. I'm like, okay, but that's just making it easier for us to know who not to trust.
Seriously.
Really easy for women to be like, oh, fuck you. Not going to talk to you.
That's an incel. Oh, look, we got an incel.
Hey, look, everybody.
How long have I been saying that, like, there needs to be hats to determine who's what? It's an right incel uniform. Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Perfect.
Yeah, there's what I had for today, for this episode.
Thanks, you loved it. I hated it.
No, you loved it.
Arr, I love her. It was great.
But yeah, I was thinking about how it was just interesting to me to see like the correlations. So I thought that was important.
It is. It's very funny how like the church, like the LDS church, calls the Catholic church like the Whore of Babylon or whatever.
Oh yeah.
They say the exact same thing. Shit.
Yep.
Anyways, well, that was a journey.
Yep.
Thanks for reading it three times so I didn't have to.
yeah, I need to go scrub my